This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
I think that there's only really one way to start off this show, and that is with the Arkansas Razorback basketball team last night going into Rupp Arena, which we all felt like when we talked about it on the show yesterday, looking at it from the social media perspective, that the Arkansas Razorback basketball team didn't stand a chance in this game. They were just too outmanned, outgunned. It was just everything about Kentucky was better than Arkansas. But the thing is that Arkansas not only was in this game, but they led for the majority of the game. They had as high of a 15-point lead, but Kentucky stormed back, ended up getting the victory as of late. There was a lot of calls that we're going to get into as well towards the end of that game, but Kentucky gets the victory 70-66. And, you know, it's one of those things that if you're a Razorback fan and you've been frustrated with this basketball team and the losing streak they've been on, you felt like it was really a season so far that is underachieved, that should have been a lot better than what it has been. But you at least saw a game last night where a team fought hard. Yep. They were playing hard. They did not give up. They knew that they were going up against a team that was more talented than them and better than them at literally every position, essentially. But you got to give credit where credit is due to the Razorbacks in their efforts. But 42-27, Kentucky outscores Arkansas in the second half, and you're going to be in Rupp Arena. I mean, you got to play a near flawless game, especially down the stretch. And unfortunately for Arkansas, they're just not that good enough a team to do that right now. But kudos to them for the effort. But unfortunately for them, they didn't get the win.
Well, I mean, in all of that you said is true. The game changed when Kentucky came out in the second half and about the 18-minute mark really got their defense where they wanted it and cranked it up. And how many times did we watch throughout the second half where Arkansas was forcing up an undesirable shot with less than 2 or 3 seconds to go on the shot clock because Kentucky was playing good, solid defense and just really ramped up the aggression level. And Arkansas couldn't get the looks they needed in the second half. Too many possessions that were essentially wasted. The only thing that came out of it is you burned 30 seconds off of the clock, and you were hoping to get to the finish line and still be clinging to a one-point lead. But, John, time and time again, Arkansas, you know, there weren't a lot of shot clock violations, one or two maybe, but they were essentially shot clock violations because Arkansas was just throwing up prayers on multiple possessions last night in the second half.
Yeah, that was really the difference is the defensive clamp that Kentucky put on. And the thing is that a lot of that had to do with more so Kentucky, not just necessarily Arkansas, because I know that they obviously had their own problems there too. But Kentucky just, when they turned on that defense, they really focused on Isaiah Joe, who was just killing them in the first half. I mean, he was just shooting lights out. He was really the reason why Arkansas was in this game and had the lead there at halftime. So they clamped him down. He only had 3 points in the second half. That was a huge difference. They made sure that the guys like Gabe Osaboyan and Adrio Bailey and Jalen Harris, my goodness, Jalen. I mean, I understand that he's not a scorer, but you go 0 for 9 in the game, 0 for 3 from 3-point land, 1 of 3 from the free throw line. I mean, that was a brutal, brutal game for Jalen Harris. He played defense well at sometimes, but offensively, that's not exactly what you want. Those aren't the looks you want. But, I mean, Arkansas, by and large, especially when getting – here's your thing too, Tommy. Daniel Gafford got two fairly early fouls. I mean, with 6 minutes into the game.
They played most of the first half without
him. Yeah, and so that they had to lead. And that's what I think was more surprising than anything. It was like, wait, hold on a second. Arkansas has a double-digit lead on the Kentucky Wildcats, number 4 team in the country at Rupp Arena, in the first half. With Reggie Chaney and Gabe Osaboyan being your guys down low, with P.J. Washington and the guys like that that are going to be all SEC, maybe all American type players.
Well, Calipari said it at halftime. He didn't quite put it this way, but they weren't taking Arkansas serious. They weren't playing to the level they needed to against Arkansas, and he challenged them at halftime, and they responded. Yeah. And that's bottom line. I mean, you know, another big factor in the first half, though, just talking about things, turnovers in the first half, 12-1. Arkansas had forced 12 Kentucky turnovers.
Yep.
Arkansas had only turned the ball over one time. Now, Arkansas wasn't bad in the second half, but they had 6 second-half turnovers. Kentucky only had 3. So, you know, just a lot of things changed after John Calipari had a visit with his team at intermission. And defensively, things changed, and the way Kentucky took care of the basketball, it changed. The pressure of the moment, the magnitude of the moment, the weight of actually beating the number 4 team in the country, who a lot of people right now would say Kentucky is probably better than there's not 3 other teams right now playing better basketball than Kentucky. All of that got to the Razorbacks, who really gave a tremendous effort last night, but fall short, 70-66.
Well, not only was it Kentucky, but it was really just one player for Kentucky, at least offensively, and that was Tyler Hero. I mean, the guy had 29 points of 9 of 10 from shooting, 5 of 6 from threes, made 6 of 6 free throws. I mean, he was really the key to Kentucky's victory, and it's just, you know, it's one of those things, too, in basketball, which is always a lot of fun to just discuss, but I know it's always hindsight, but man, you know, if he just has 1 or 2 missed shots, I mean, that's the difference in the game. Or if Arkansas is able to hit, instead of missing 4 straight free throws towards the end of the game, if they're able to hit those free throws, it's a different ball game. I mean, this was just one of those games where every single play counted and meant so much, especially towards the end of the game. And there was not a single doubt, even when Arkansas was up 15 points, guys, and I think we're all on the same page here, there was never a comfort level. There was never a time where I even for 1 second thought that Arkansas was going to win this game. Not even 1 second, because I know Kentucky, I know how good they are, and I also know Arkansas. But this, I don't think this was a lack of preparation. I don't think this was a lack of coaching. I don't think this was a lack of anything that we have discussed as far as this season goes and this losing streak. I think this was just a team that was much better than you, went out there and beat you on their home court because they're more talented. They are better coached. They are just better than you, period. And you just gave a valiant effort. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Arkansas exceeded expectations. I mean, there's no moral victories. Arkansas still is, you know, 500 on the year now. That loss puts Arkansas at 14-14 for the year and 5-10 in league play. But, they played much better than anyone expected. Vegas had Arkansas being a 17-point underdog. And that's why that last night's another game, another example of why you should never gamble.
Yes.
Because you just, none of us. If we were forced to bet a dime, and I don't bet on sports, but boy, if you did, you'd have bet everything you could have on Kentucky, and you'd have lost it all.
Yep.
Last night.
Yep.
You know, it's just another reason of why sports. It's why we love sports, because you never really know truly. That's why you got to watch what you're going to get. And Arkansas gave you something you didn't expect last night. Had a chance to win the game, and just not deep enough, not talented enough in a second half environment at a place like Rupp Arena to pull it off.
Yeah. I mean, you were just not going to find a way to make that work. I mean, it was going to be one of those things you had to play flawlessly. And I think that it's just frustrating, because when you watch that, I understand Kentucky wouldn't play their best game, and I'm not trying to take anything away from that. But I am giving Arkansas a lot of credit that if they just would have played that way and have played consistently that way for the majority of this season, it's amazing what this season would look like and how different it would be. Because if you think about this, too, this is something that I was talking with a buddy of mine last night. You know, Arkansas has lost games to what we all know, Western Kentucky and Georgia Tech at home, and they lost to A&M at home. You know, they've had some really type losses. But then if you think about what they've done on the road, and even though they haven't won all their games, but just the game, I mean, the LSU game, they go on the road and win. They had Kentucky on the ropes on the road. I mean, they have done some times where it's looked like they've looked better on the road than they have at home. And these are just like the backwards things that don't make much sense to Razorback fans especially. And it's just frustrating, because you're hoping that at some point they were going to be able to get it turned around and figured out and put together 2 good halves. I think they did put together not 2 good halves, but at least they put together a game plan that was good enough for them to win. The only unfortunate thing was against Kentucky, because if this was any other opponent in the SEC, maybe besides LSU and Tennessee, but they probably would have got out of there with a victory, and probably would have got out of there with a victory handedly. But, again, if you're going up against Kentucky, this is a heavy hitter right now.
They put together 22 great minutes, because Arkansas came out of the second half out of the locker room, and for the first 2 minutes of the second half, hit a couple of shots and expanded on that lead, and then it all changed. And Mike Anderson had to use a timeout just before. He couldn't even make it to the under 16. He called one with 16:35 or something like that, because you could see it coming. The lead got trimmed to 10, and it was just waves. You know, lead goes from 15 to 10, and then 10 to 5. And then you, once you knew it was under 5, you knew it was over. Arkansas, you could see the doubt creeping in. You could see the, I don't want to say the fear in their eye, but you just knew that they were overwhelmed when that pressure got on, the crowd got back into it, the home court edge was there because they had quietened that building in the first half. And then once Kentucky made a couple of runs and Arkansas had to use a couple of timeouts, and you know that Mike had to talk to his team about that. I know we're going to hear some from Mike following the game last night later. You know, they had to discuss that in the locker room about, hey, you know, they're going to make some runs, and we're going to have to withstand it. We're going to have to weather these storms. And, you know, eventually they just got overwhelmed by the storm there at Rupp.
Follow the show on Twitter, at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're in number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
I want to play this clip because, first off, this is something I've never seen from Mike Anderson before, Tommy. And I apologize for the quality. We try this for some reason. Kentucky media doesn't have any high quality videos of the press conferences. I don't know how that happens, but so I'm going to try to make this work as best I can. But I think you can get the point of the question being asked, where a Kentucky reporter asked what Mike Anderson was trying to get out of this game, like what did he want to accomplish in this game. Mm-hmm. And Mike Anderson did not like that question.
Your team coming in on a 5-game losing streak against the one of the toughest places in the country. What were you all trying to get out of a game like this?
A win. I mean, you got anything else to that question? Were you really serious about that? I'll give it back to him. Were you serious about that? I mean, what were we trying to get? What were we trying to get? Consistency, I think, for 40 minutes. I think we played games where we played, you know, good for 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And so to elaborate on what you talked about, we were coming. We played to win.
I was wondering, like, what were you guys trying to, like, learn from a game like this, you know, just something like
that? Learn? Next question.
I don't know, Tommy. I've been going to Anderson press conferences. I've heard press conferences. I've heard Mike Anderson be asked bad questions at press conferences. But I've never seen him respond that way, because I don't have a problem with the way he responded, because it was a really stupid question.
Yeah, I mean, again, yesterday I talked about the arrogance of Kentucky fans. That's an arrogant question.
What did you?
Because essentially, what he's asking without asking is, you didn't actually think you were going to come in here and win, did you? What were you really here? What were you now that you've lost, and you put a little scare in? What did you really want to come in here and do? Because you really didn't. That's what he's asking. You didn't really believe, Coach, you were going to come in here and win, did you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what he's asking without asking.
That's
the arrogance of Kentucky basketball on full display once again.
Yeah, and when I hear that question and I heard Mike's response, I'm like, that, I was like so happy. I was like, thank you, because that's the type of thing that if I was asked a question after a game like that, and knowing that I had him on the ropes, knowing that it was a hard-fought battle to the very end, and somebody asked me something like that, and I mean, I would be the same way, because Mike was saying, give him back the microphone. I'm like, no, I'm not done with you. Why did you what kind of question is that? Like, that's not Mike Anderson's style. I don't think I've ever seen him do that. But I think that the pressures of this season, and I think how the season has gone, and knowing how close you were to getting a victory against Kentucky, I think that that was a pretty emotional response from Mike, too.
Boys, I bet my next paycheck, Tommy, that those clowns over at Kentucky Sports Radio are going to be blasting Mike Anderson today for how he responded to that question.
I'm sure. Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's going to be a field day.
Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, they were
absolutely.
They were even saying, Tommy, at the end of the game, this is going off the Kentucky sports guys, that they were saying how Mike Anderson should have gotten a technical for having to be held back by Teddy Valentine when the controversial calls were coming in at play late in the game. He said Mike should have been called for a technical there, because if Calipari did that, he would have been calling for a technical. I almost fell out of my chair. It's just amazing where
Calipari doesn't get called for technicals unless Calipari. I mean, there was like a game like 3 years ago, he got dumped early in the game. He got ejected. Yep. But he wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 4 minutes into the game, the road at South Carolina on a Saturday.
And I think that
must have been a really good Italian joint around the corner or something. He got ejected like 4 minutes into a game by a veteran official. That was a planned deal by him, and his team responded and won big.
Mm-hmm.
Calipari didn't get a lot of technicals.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't buy that for a second. Let's go to the phone lines. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Yeah, No doubt they did play harder last night. Mm-hmm. You could tell. But we still have some people taking shots that has Gabe Osaboyan, has he made any shots this year? Or
he has made a few shots. He has. I know that it doesn't seem like it, but he has.
I must have missed the ones he made because
he didn't make any of the three last night, Danny. But he did.
Oh, he did. Well, I missed it, I guess, because it seemed like we have a few people.
Thankfully, only took three. You know.
Well, I would prefer him shoot zero because he's not a good shooter, and Adriel Bailey, he never makes very many shots either. And Jalen Harris, at the first year, I thought he was going to really, you know, be a good point guard, and he seems to be getting worse, taking terrible shots. And
he was 0-for-9.
That being said, hey, we did play hard.
Yeah, and well, the thing about Jalen Harris, too, is that, I mean, he was never going to be a scorer. At least he shouldn't be. He should never shoot three. I mean, unless it's just some type of thing. Like, if you're, because here's the thing, if you're a point guard and you are wide, wide open, even if you're not known for threes, I don't have a problem you taking that shot. But it's when you're forcing shots, trying to take top of the key shots when you got a defender in your face. Those are not the type of shots that you want. And again, those are the frustrating things. It's like, I don't want to see Gabe Osaboyan shooting a jumper outside of the lane. Or anything. I don't want to see Adriel Bailey doing that. It's just those are the things that you want to pull your hair out when you got, it's like, man, you got Daniel Gafford, you got Isaiah Joe, you got Mason Jones, you got guys that can make those shots, and those are the guys that you want to see shooting the ball, not these guys that are shooting, like, because I'm looking at, you mentioned Gabe Osaboyan, just looking at his percentage, he's shooting 36% on the season. He's made 31 of 86 shots. He's 5 of 22 from the three-point line. So, I mean, it's just, he's not the guy you want taking shots, and you don't want to see that.
As for down the stretch,
mm-hmm.
Okay, I get it. Kentucky gets every call. I mean, first of all, the out-of-bounds play, clearly off of the Kentucky guy's elbow. Second, on the inbounds pass, the guy may have been called for walking. And thirdly, there was an elbow thrown on that inbounds play that they didn't call either.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you expect from Kentucky. What was really disappointing is missing four free throws in a row.
Yeah, that was killer.
Again, free throws kill us.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those free throws did the officials goaltend, by the way?
Is this beef? Is this Beef Wednesday or what?
Yes, it is. It's What's Your Beef Wednesday, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, it's just me, but does everybody have a comfort dog these days? Because, you know, I like dogs, but it's getting to where Walmart, I don't know if it's that way there, but, man, it's everybody likes to walk their dog in Walmart these days. And I don't see these service dog insignias on them or anything like that. But I think they've gotten a little carried away. Sometimes I think I just want to get me a comfort pony and go to Walmart. But I might offer a suggestion. Guys, go to YouTube. And if you want to listen to something that really makes you feel good, listen to a cappella. I'd never done that till 3 years ago, and I started listening and go to Home Free. YouTube them home free, and check them out. Their voices just, they just make you feel good listening to the human voice, and it's really, really good music, and you ought to check it out. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Appreciate it, Dan. That was a full call right there. That was a full call.
Covered a lot of ground.
Yes, you did, but appreciate the phone call, Danny. You know, this is, I wanted to get into this, and I know we're going to get into it more, but about the calls late.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Tommy, first, you disagreed with my sentiment on Twitter. That's fine.
Well, okay. How many college basketball games you watched this year?
I mean, probably ballpark 30, 35.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How many of you watched a bunch last year and a bunch the year before that and a whole lot the year before that and a really whole lot the year before that?
Mm-hmm.
How many violations have you seen on these inbounds? Like Jimmy was talking about on the broadcast, like the one everyone's screaming about. Let's talk about that first.
Okay.
This traveling violation everyone's wanting. How many times have you seen that called in a college, a big-time college basketball game? How many times have you ever seen that called?
I mean, I've seen it called a couple, but not very often.
No, you haven't. You're just saying that.
No, I have. No, I have seen it called before, yes.
No, you haven't. maybe in a high school game, or maybe junior high game.
You asked me a question, I answered it. So, I mean,
liar, liar, liar. You're a liar. You just don't listen. That wasn't an the rule is there, but that wasn't an egregious violation. That part I don't agree with. Now, was the ball off the elbow? Well, it sure looked to me like they missed it on replay. I'm with you on that. I mean, for everyone that says, "Oh, you're always defending them," I can't get with you on the out of bounds violation. Can't get on board on that deal.
What about the elbow to the face?
They missed that one, we can talk about that. I need more time to talk about that one. You know, yeah, like the one on the inbound down in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that too. But I get with you on two of the three. I'll agree with everyone listening on two of those three, but I can't get with you on that out-of-bounds deal.
Hey, two of three will put you in the Hall of Fame, so we'll take that from you, Tommy, this morning. But, yeah, we will talk about that. Let's real quick go back to the phone lines. Terry's in Fort Smith. What's going on, Terry?
Hey, how's it going this morning?
Pretty good. How about you, man?
I just want to say that was a great valiant effort by the Razorbacks last night.
Sure was.
It was really fun to see them have a chance to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one thing I do want to say, my hat's off to Calipari for something he did at the end of the game. That if Anderson would have done in two previous games that we had earlier this season, we'd have 16 wins instead of 14. And if you notice, 5 seconds left, and they had a 3-point lead. They fouled them before they got across the half-court line.
Yep.
And I just don't understand why, when you were in that situation, why you don't do that. But I've heard Mike Anderson say he doesn't play the game that way. Yeah. Why do you allow
Called timeout when Arkansas had no timeouts, gave Arkansas a chance to draw up a play to make sure his defense was right to do that, because Arkansas didn't have a chance to set anything up.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
All right, it is a What's Your Beef Wednesday. Lots of things that I could use for my beef. I think that I've already made my point known about Mike Anderson being asked one of the stupidest questions in all time in the press conference afterwards and his response. But I'm going to build off of that and kind of take it one step further. I'm beefing with just Kentucky fans in general. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, and to me, there is nothing worse than Kentucky basketball fans. I know people have had run-ins with LSU fans in football or Texas A&M fans in football. I know that people have had their own problems with, you know, fans of big-time teams like Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl when they were there. Just everybody has run-ins. Everybody has issues and things happen. But I don't think I can find a more consistent, annoying, terrible, mean-spirited fan base than Kentucky basketball. Because like clockwork last night, I'm tweeting during the game, and you know, we all are tweeting during the game. But I knew that at some point in time, a Kentucky basketball fan that doesn't follow me was going to start responding to me and tweeting at me. And it happened. And I had about three or four Kentucky fans who just, I don't know if they searched for tweets or they searched for Razorback Arkansas media members or what. I don't know what they were searching for, but they found tweets. And then that was bad enough because I don't really care. I just ignore them because if they want you to respond to them, that's what they do. They're trolls. They just want you to do that. So I ignore them. But what's funny is I look at other media members here at Arkansas, and Tommy, these same individuals were responding verbatim with the same tweets to those media members. So you're telling, like, so there are people in Kentucky that are Kentucky basketball fans taking the same tweets, copy and pasting them, going on to Twitter, searching for media members in Arkansas, and tweeting the same responses to them, no matter what their tweets are. Because why? Because Kentucky basketball. That's why. They are some of the most low-life, despicable fans that you will find. Some of the things that they have said to me are horrendous. Some of the things that they have done to other people and individuals. We referenced the time where the Facebook company or the company that was on Facebook by that official that they basically tried to destroy his life because
Kentucky
of a call.
Radio.
Yeah, Kentucky Sports Radio tried to do that. Like, that was dealing with the media.
They got sued and had to pay a bunch of money.
Exactly. Too. They got sued for it and all that. This is their culture. That is their culture that they have. Not only are they good at basketball, but that's not enough for them. They got to be moronic. They got to be annoying. They got to be just terrible individuals. And I'm not saying every fan's this way. I know because people are going to take it that way. But it certainly seems like a very large portion of the Kentucky fan base in basketball are just horrible. I have never in my life heard more negative things than about Kentucky basketball. My brother, who went to school at Western Kentucky, he went there when they used to play each other in basketball, and he even said that he didn't like Kentucky before, but going there and seeing how the fans act, he just has brought this whole new disdain for him because of how he's happened. So there's just no real positive thing I can say about him. And it just infuriates me every single time when Arkansas plays them, and they just come out of the woodwork, and they're so annoying. And they're so just frustrating. And you have to ignore them. That's the only thing that you can do. You can just ignore them. And it just also makes me wish that there was times where Arkansas was competing at the same national level of Kentucky. Because, man, oh, man, if you want rivalry, there's a rivalry for you. If that's what you want as a Razorback fan in some major sport, there you have it. If Arkansas basketball ever gets back to competing on a national level, Kentucky will be that rival. I guarantee it. I hate them. You hate them. The American people hate them. Continue it on, and I cannot stress enough my disdain for Kentucky basketball fans. That's who I'm beefing with today, Tommy.
I'm beefing with just the inconsistency. I mentioned this earlier in the show. It's frustrating to me that Arkansas took LSU to overtime at Bud Walton, lost that game, then goes to Baton Rouge and wins the game. Last night we see them play maybe the best team in the country right now, Kentucky. Yeah. Might be the best team, and I know they're ranked number four, but they may be the best team in college basketball right now. And I know that last night they didn't play to their potential, but you played them to a four-point game and really had a good chance to win the game. It seems to me Arkansas rises to the level of their opponents or plays down to the level of their opponents just based on what we have seen, and it's really created a very inconsistent performance throughout the year, and that's why you're 14-14 on the year. It's frustrating to me. I've got beef with the fact that you seem to really get up for the best opponents. Tennessee's really only the one great opponent on your schedule you didn't show up for. Other than that, LSU and Kentucky, the great teams in the league, Arkansas has played well against this year in the three games against those two teams. Does that bother anybody else that if you have that ability to play at that level and match up with those teams, why can't you do it against Missouri? Why can't you do it and be more convincing against a team like Georgia? You won at home, but it took all you had. Or Vanderbilt, where you had to get a shot from the wing from Embry-Simpson to end up winning that game. And you just go down the list of games that teams that aren't nearly as good as Kentucky that either lost to or struggled to win. And then last night you see that. It's in them. Why is it they consistently have played well against the great teams, but they can't against the other teams of their similar class in this league?
Yeah.
I got beef with that.
Yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, it's frustrating for any team. Like, imagine if the football team was that way where, you know, they get smoked by Vega Vanderbilt, and then the next week they play Alabama and we lose by a touchdown. It's like, what the crap? Like, how does that happen? And that's what makes it adds to the frustration that Razorback fans have with this team. It's just the inconsistencies, man. And how it seems like you always play down to your competition. Like, this season should not be the way it is right now, Tommy. This season should not be 14-14 right now. It shouldn't be. If you just played consistently, you'd be an 18-win team right now. I think at least you'd have at least four more wins, but you don't. That's not what you have right now. This is the situation you find yourselves in, and it's like they pull you in just enough to keep you interested, but then they always break your heart in the very end, man. It's tough. It's tough as a fan to watch that stuff. It's brutal. So, but no, that's a good beat.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.